This is Twit.
Oh, I know what I want to talk about. Facebook's oversight board. You had a good, Alex, you had a good article about it on your big technology newsletter. The oversight board has decided to defer their decision about Donald Trump. It's one of the cases they've been working on. Of course, Facebook, was it after January 6th or before January 6th banned?
After.
After. They acted in an excess of courage. They decided to ban Donald Trump after the insurrection on January 6th. But the Facebook's advisory board is taking that, oversight board is taking that on, and will decide if that ban was justified and whether to reinstate the former president. Is the board working, Alex? What do you think?
Well, there's two sets of opinions on this, which is something I laid out in the newsletter. On one hand, people say that this is really just a head fake, that the board can only review certain content moderation decisions, not the recommendation algorithms, not the group. They can't take down groups. They can't review, you know, the fundamentals of the product. So they're really just dealing with the periphery. And Facebook is like making it seem like we have a say where we really don't. The other side of it, you know, talking about whether the board makes a difference, is people are like, well, what other choice do we have? What alternative is there? And so you can have Facebook make the decision, you can have the government make the decision, or you could have some form of public representation make the decision. I personally think it's good to have the public make the decision in some way, even if it's limited. And this is a good start. So I'm really curious to see what they ended up, you know, ruling. I don't think we should say that, like, okay, Facebook's washed its hands of all of its problems now that it has some third parties making a call like this. But it is pretty significant that it's not Facebook itself making the decision of whether to ban Trump or not. And it is going to go to this board. And I'm really curious what happens if Trump actually does return to Facebook, because then Facebook becomes the one platform that's going to have Trump on it. He's not on Twitter. I think he's been banned from YouTube too. And how does that change, you know, the nature of Facebook if, you know, Facebook becomes Trump HQ while the others are not? And I'm pretty intrigued by what ends up happening over the next couple of weeks. You know, they deferred it a little bit, but I anticipate that this thing is going to come, you know, end of April, early May. And it'll be really fascinating to see the outcome.
They say they wanted to defer because they received 9,000 comments. They asked for feedback and they wanted to read all 9,000 comments.
Never read the comments.
Never read the comments. If there's one thing we've learned.
So, Alex, I thought that was it was a great column. And two things struck me about it. Number one, that you had the same expert commenting on both opposing sides of the question, mm-hmm. which really struck me as identifying the core of how, you know, just insurmountable this problem seems to be. But the other thing is I thought you wrote something that just, I wanted to see it bold-faced. I wanted to see it leap out. You said, for years, people have questioned whether one company should have all that power, but Facebook has the power now. And that's kind of a theme of how we got to where we are in 2021. Companies like Uber, companies like Facebook got here by finding a weakness in the market and the regulatory structure, aggressively rolling over any kind of regulation that is there, and then acquiring the power and saying, well, we have the power now. You can't, we have to find a way to deal with this. And, you know, and the third option here is to say, you know, Facebook, you're out of business, you know, or or you're broken up. You're broken into, I don't know, five different companies that do God knows what. But the idea that, well, we have the power now and that's just a fait accompli seems like something that shouldn't be dismissed as, you know, if you got there through horrendous anti-competitive ways that basically trampled on what we see as societal norms, that maybe it's worth revisiting the decisions of how we got there.
Will Twitter, if Facebook reinstates, Twitter doesn't have a process like this at all, right? I mean,
no, Trump is not coming back to Twitter.
He's just not coming back
ever. There's no chance he's ever coming back. He's more associated with Twitter than he is with Facebook.
Right.
So,
right.
Right. He's gone.
And I have to say, I mean, just purely subjectively, life has been a little bit calmer with that the daily 40 or 50 tweets from Donald Trump. But that's interesting. So why can't Facebook? Why couldn't Facebook just have the nerve, the spine to do what Twitter did, and just say we don't need an oversight board? We're just going to do it. Is Facebook's oversight board a better solution than Twitter just saying, yeah, we're just going to ban them forever? That's it.
I don't know. The more I think about this oversight board, the more I like it. And, you know, I'm nervous to admit it in public because it's not a very popular stance. But I generally think that, like, we shouldn't have Facebook making these choices. We shouldn't have the government making these choices. Yes, Facebook is making turning over a very narrow segment of its decisions to the public. Yes, it handpicked all the first members of the board.
But a prestigious board. I mean, they're good people. They're not.
Exactly. Well, okay, there's an argument that, like, now Facebook can show these people to Congress and say, see, you can leave Section 230 in place. We have this all under control. So, okay, maybe they're. And those people are making six-figure salaries for 15 hours of work.
But isn't Mark Zuckerberg saying you should change? He said, he testified, you should change Section 230.
Yeah, I know, but it's always like change the, you know, to turn a tiny dial to make it harder for the smaller companies and better for us.
Yeah, that's the
and don't like change the, like, core protections. But I mean, ultimately, like, I think we want the public making these choices, and we don't want to make have a man like Zuckerberg, who runs a company, who's unaccountable even to his own board, to be the final say on this. And
so why do we let Jack Dorsey do that?
Well,
should he have a board? Should there be a Twitter oversight board?
Well, we don't let the thing is, it's not our choice.
It isn't our choice.
We don't let them do it. These companies are doing it on their own.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be upset to see some board like this set up for Twitter. But I do think that we need a view with nuance, which is, you know, let's look at the good for what it is, but also understand that part of it might be to defer criticism.
And
when we get into that situation. That's bad.
It's an intransigent problem. It's an almost insoluble problem. It's better to do something than nothing.
Exactly.
On the other hand, I have to say, maybe it's just me, but I feel like the day of Twitter and Facebook is, those days are waning. I don't know what's going to replace them. I don't know what the next thing is. Maybe it's TikTok. I don't know. Maybe it's not social media. My sense is maybe people are a little fed up with social media. Is that just me, Ed, or does it feel like Facebook and Twitter were very 2010.
I'm afraid I'm way too deep into these things. Not into Facebook. I've been gone from Facebook for several years now and do not miss it one bit. But I don't, I see evidence that, you know, Facebook's hypergrowth in the United States has stopped.
Well, yeah, because they have everybody. Except for you and me.
Because they have everybody.
Yeah.
But there's no indication that their influence has stopped. And there's no indication that Twitter's influence in terms of, you know, sort of controlling the tentacles of attention to media has stopped. But the whole thing about the advisory board strikes me as pure PR, because there's 1,000 things that are happening every day that are having negative impacts on communities, on businesses, on people, on countries, on ethnic groups. And the advisory board is only going to deal with the high profile ones that are too hot for Mark Zuckerberg to handle. And so it becomes a way to shovel those off and say, see, we have an independent board dealing with these, while the horrible things that are happening on a more granular level, on a more local level, are still happening and are still at the mercy of Facebook's horribly broken or non-existent content moderation architecture.
So who should do that?
I don't know who should do that. I wish that the fact that we're in a situation where somebody was able to build a thing where 3 billion people in the world are able to launch a genocide you know, and
not all of them.
Nobody thought about that from day one. You know, the idea that somebody has to say, well, whose job is it to fix that? Sort of seems to me that we're asking the wrong question here.
Well, I think that Facebook is something that has been a force that, you know, clearly Zuckerberg built it to be the force that it is. But can you predict every single impact that this device, machine, whatever is going to have? And I think that's what Facebook is dealing with.
You can't predict every single impact, but you could predict the negative outcomes that were going to happen here. And none of them were accounted for in the original thing. People who know how networks work saw this coming a decade ago, a decade and a half ago, and nobody listened to them. And now we're at the position where, well, who's going to deal with it? You know, it's just what we have. You know, burning Facebook to the ground doesn't seem to me to be, should not be rejected as an option.
What about all the good that Facebook's done? I mean, the connections people have had, the impact it's had for businesses.
Jeff Jarvis always points to George Floyd. The first videos of his murder were on Facebook. It's done some good. But
I mean, it's done good and bad. And I think like anything else that's new, there's going to be a learning curve. And I'm not defending Facebook. I'm not on there either. I mean, I'm on there in a public way, but right, privately, I'm done with it because it was no longer providing me the value that I wanted. Right. And Twitter, I mean, you know, I use Twitter and I think Twitter is quite possibly the perfect social media. Twitter to me is a phone number that everyone has access to, right? If you tweet me, theoretically, I'm looking at my tweets and I can see your message along with anyone else in the world. I think that's amazing. Right. You know, and is Twitter to me a lot of nonsense and things that just kind of percolate that are kind of give me a break? Sure. You know, do I think it should go away or be burned to the ground? No. And I think that, you know, and to answer Leo with social media in general, I mean, look, this is a force in our world that will never go away. It might be reinvented, but at this point we see the, TikTok, like you said, and we see, you know, Instagram is still just beginning to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still just at the beginning. And the influence that has on travel, on places people go, on everything is just absolutely unbelievable. And will there be something else to overtake it? Maybe. And Facebook, I think there's, as someone who uses it in a public way, I think it's amazing. You know, I took a video yesterday, I posted it, and the comments and the discussion I get on my page is just phenomenal. And I find it to be really interesting. And, you know, I'm not in the political world, so maybe that's it. I'm just, you know, I talk tech. But I will say I have seen in the past couple of years the political fallout on my tech page. You know, I work for a news station and people used to take what I said as it was real. And now every time I post something, well, how do I know you're real? How do I know this is not fake news? I mean, it's, you know, the impact has been seen across the board. And I do find that part quite interesting as well.
I think, Leo, the question that you asked about, you know, what's going to happen is, and are Facebook and Twitter going by the wayside, was really fascinating because I think right now we're living in the most dynamic moment as far as these social media companies go that I've seen since I started covering them about a decade ago, which is that we now have TikTok is insurgent and TikTok is unbelievable. I mean, there are so many complications with TikTok, but the product itself is incredibly addicting. And I just picked it up during lockdown because I was bored. And I am sucked in all the way. And I think that poses a serious challenge to Facebook. And then you think about some of this audio stuff.
And I would point out before you move on.
Yeah.
It also points out that what we might have thought of for years is the impossibility of dethroning Facebook is not impossible. That there 100%. Are new ways to do stuff. There are new ideas. Yep. You said Clubhouse, another example.
Yeah. And now Facebook and Twitter are running. They're not walking to copy Clubhouse.
Yeah.
Twitter with Spaces. Facebook, I think, is about to announce something on Monday. I would say the incumbents are under threat.
Was that some breaking news or what? Or is that?
There was a report. There was a report
Peter
today
Kafka
that this is coming.
Something Peter Kafka reported something today about the what Facebook's announcements are going to be, and it's very much a Clubhouse clone.
Yeah, what a surprise!
For the money, I think, just like
Instagram copied stories. I mean, if nothing else, Facebook's very adept at copying other people and buying what they can't copy. And that's part, I think you could make the strong argument that Facebook's success really has come from the fact that they, you know, they put Instagram and WhatsApp quickly out of business by buying them and making sure that their success was Facebook's success. Maybe the same thing with Oculus. I don't know. And Facebook putting stories on Instagram immediately kind of hurt Snapchat when they couldn't buy them. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I just don't feel like Facebook owns the future necessarily, or Twitter at all.
It feels less so now than it has in a long time.
It's a dynamic moment, as you say.
And look at the failures of Facebook. I mean, look at how many things they've started that, I mean, remember a couple of years ago, they did that big Facebook Watch push where they were getting into, you know, shows that they were producing. And it's like,
flop.
You know, a lot of the stuff that these companies do never works out. I mean, Google's the same way. You know, there's primary search.
Google's the king of failures.
Years.
Yes. Yes. Google's so good at that.
But we want them. We want them to fail.
But that's what I'm saying. So it gives us hope for the fact that, you know, Facebook is huge. They've got 3 billion people on the platform, and they couldn't make shows where they paid people millions of dollars to produce YouTube-style shows. They couldn't make that work. So that gives us hope that this is not just a numbers game of, you know, just, you know, pushing their way into things.
Right. Well, one interesting thing about Facebook Watch is after they invested all that money into it, they all of a sudden did a study and they found out that passive consumption on Facebook actually makes people feel bad. And so they shifted the algorithm.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. That's right.
And there went Watch.
Yeah.